This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez, and I'm at the 2006 Java One conference in San Francisco. Here is a two-part podcast. We'll start with part one of Graham Hamilton talking about new technologies being developed for Java SE 7.
So now I'm going to talk about a number of future technologies. First, I'm going to chat about some of the early ideas for Java SE 7. Then I'll talk about some other future technologies we're looking at, particularly in the language area, and we'll show you some demos of some early work that's going on there. Now, we are fairly cautious in evolving the Java language. I feel James got it very right in the balance of power and simplicity in the original Java language, and we are being fairly careful in tampering with that. However, languages do evolve. There are a lot of good ideas out there. We are sifting through them. A couple of areas we are very likely to do are direct support for XML and support for something called super packages. And I'll give examples of both of those in a minute. We are looking at a variety of other areas. Lots of people have suggested language changes to us, as we always have. Personally, my advice is we are probably not going to include operator overloading. I'm kind of hoping we'll be able to get some form of method references in. That's one of my personal favorites. I'm kind of tired of having to create classes for GUI event handlers. I'd really like lightweight method references. We'll see if I can persuade Galad to let me have that one. Now, Mark Reinhold is leading an investigation of direct support for XML. Mark's looking at syntaxes that will let you have XML literals inline in Java source code. And here's an example. You can see the XML in blue. So it's interesting to be able to drop a chunk of XML as a literal into Java and assign it to a variable. However, when you start doing that, you quickly want to be able to also mix in other things, just like when you concatenate strings. So Mark's using this black braces markers to let you put in variables or Java expressions in the middle of a chunk of XML. So this makes it easier to include XML in your Java code and the compiler check it for XML integrity. Mark's also looking at ideas for lightweight support for XPath expressions, so it'll be easy to get and set chunks of XML inside a larger chunk of XML using XPath to navigate inside the XML. Some very promising ideas there. Galad Braca is leading the work for something called super packages. The observation here is, as we all write larger Java applications and larger Java libraries, we often want to use Java packages as a way of structuring our own code. So I may have a dozen Java packages that I'm using to implement my library. Between my own packages, I want to be able to share public state, but I don't want to expose that externally outside my library. That wasn't very well supported with the classic Java package mechanism. Galad's looking at this new concept of super package, which would be a larger scoping mechanism. You'd have to explicitly say which packages were members of the super package, and then you'd explicitly list the APIs exported by the super package. This means that the components of the super package can share each other's public members, but only a smaller set are exported. This is a promising way for programming on the large and larger scale development. There are a lot of other ideas being looked at for Dolphin. We're hoping to launch the JSR for Dolphin later this year. Danny Coward will be the spec lead. A lot of ideas have been floated around. We're evaluating with the community. I certainly expect that in the desktop area, the Java 2D team are doing lots more performance optimization, yet more hardware graphics acceleration. The Swing team is interested in a couple of ease of development features for Swing. The first of these is beans binding. The idea here is to be able to have two Java beans such that when you change a property on one Java bean, a corresponding property is automatically changed on the other Java bean. Now, the reason why that is interesting is you'd often have scenarios where one bean is representing data, perhaps a chunk of XML data, perhaps a SQL data set, and the other bean is representing a UI element. So this bean's binding lets you automatically bind data, so when the data is updated, a corresponding UI element is updated. The Swing team's also looking at an application framework. The observation here is that Swing is an incredibly rich and powerful UI toolkit. You can build very interesting, powerful desktop applications. There are lots of features there. However, when new developers encounter Swing for the first time, they encounter all these different classes. It can be hard to figure out how to put all these elements together to build a successful desktop application. So we're hoping to achieve two things with the application framework. The first is to reduce some of the boilerplate, so some of the standard things that desktop applications need to do will be provided by the framework. The other is that the framework will make it more obvious what you should do in your app and how you can plug in new things like resources as part of building an overall powerful desktop application. I mentioned the super packages language work. There is a corresponding runtime JSR 277. This is focused on upgrading the classic Java packaging mechanism, the jar file, so it will be able to better support the new semantics, the super packages language changes. It includes better abilities to describe dependencies between jar files, better versioning for jar files, and support for repository of jar files. So a lot of important work happening there. We like scripting languages. We like a diversity of languages. Very happy we're co-bundling JavaScript as part of Mustang. Another interesting scripting language is something called Bean Shell. This is a little lightweight scripting language that's very Java-friendly. It's been designed to have essentially the same syntax as the Java language. It's currently being standardized through the JCP as JSR 274. That seems a very enticing candidate that might be included in Dolphin. Obviously, we're going to keep working on the systemic qualities. We want better performance. We are not going to give up on stability, robustness, compatibility. We're also going to keep pushing to improve yet more monitoring and management. There are a lot more Dolphin candidates than I'm able to mention here. There's well over 100 serious major features that are being considered. Danny Coward will be talking about this more as part of the Mustang and Dolphin session at 2:00. Now, let's look a little more broadly at where we might go with the Java platform over the next 2 or 3 years. The sense from many of us at Sun is we'd like to increase the range of applications that can be built with the Java platform. We'd like to increase the range of developers who are comfortable using the Java platform for development. Ease of development was one conscious manifestation of that. We were really trying to take the core powerful ideas of Java EE, make them simpler, make them accessible to a wider development community. However, the Java EE ease of development work was still targeted within the classic Java language style of development. There are other language styles. Visual Basic is a very different kind of language from the Java language. There are a lot of people who like it. It's a very successful language. There are other languages like Groovy or Python or Ruby that, again, have a very different style. It can be very successful for a different kind of application programming. We'd like to widen out the scope of the Java platform, include a much more diverse set of languages and of development styles, so we can accommodate more developers within one unifying platform. Now, if we want more languages, when should we use which language for which task? I have to confess in this slide that I am a big fan of the Java language. That's probably shining through here. I do think Java has been very successful as the gold standard for large-scale commercial development. The original language design focused very heavily on getting a lot of static checking, so the compiler can check as much as possible for you, that as few things as possible can go weird on you at runtime. In evolving the language, we tried very hard to stick with the core values of readability, of clarity in what source code does, and that's targeted being able to maintain apps over time. So we're trying to create an environment where you can write large applications successfully, you can debug them, you can maintain them. Those are the core values of the Java language. However, diversity is good. There are actually many different development tasks. When I'm writing a small application on Saturday morning, I actually want very different things. I'm often in a more exploratory style. I'm trying ideas out and changing my code very quickly. In that kind of environment, I don't necessarily want all that static checking from the Java language. It may even get in the way. So there's certainly a need for different styles. If you're part of a large development team, you may consciously want to think about dividing up roles in your team, that the Java language may be the right basis for your business logic. However, for your presentation code, particularly in the web tier, it may be interesting to use a dynamic language or a scripting language. If you're at all like Sun, your marketing team is probably wanting to change the web appearance of your site every other week. We find that that code tends to evolve very briskly. The underlying business logic for running the site evolves much more slowly and with much more care, frankly. So using different languages for those different parts of your development task might be very appropriate. Now, I've mentioned dynamic languages a couple of times. We're very happy that dynamic languages are currently supported on the Java platform. The Groovy project is developing a whole new dynamic language, Groovy, that's targeted at the Java platform. Languages like Ruby and Python, our existing languages, are very supported. The JRuby project supports the Ruby language on the Java platform. The Jython project supports the Python language on the Java platform. So lots of support for dynamic languages today. However, the fine people who are implementing these dynamic languages are having to work around the JVM. The Java virtual machine was designed for the Java language. its invocation mechanisms, its type system are designed to support Java. Now, people can implement other invocation mechanisms, but having to sort of work around what the JVM expects. Galad Braca is leading a JSR that's designed to provide direct JVM support for some of these alternative languages. Galad's proposing a new bytecode that would have a much more flexible invocation mechanism that would make it easy to launch other language launch methods in a somewhat different way. Now, this will have two advantages. One is it'll make it easier for people to bring up new dynamic languages in the Java platform, so we'll see new languages appearing more quickly. The other is, because the JVM knows about this new bytecode, it'll be able to better accelerate execution of dynamic languages, which is very attractive. And this will be the first time the JVM is directly supporting ideas that aren't targeted at the Java language.